Hi, and welcome back to Five Things. I'm your host, Angie B, and I'm thrilled that you decided to tune in this week. So thank you so much. If you love movies, you're going to love today's guest. I have the creator of the Crooked Table podcast, Robert Yannis Jr., as my guest, and I'm so excited to welcome him to the show. For those of you that don't know, the Crooked Table podcast is all about movies. According to their website, Crooked Table aims to highlight not only the latest Hollywood blockbusters, but also independent films, documentaries, and other gems that moviegoers might otherwise miss. So I'm super excited to have him on the show. Robert, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. I also wanted to say thank you again for allowing me to be a guest on your podcast. I truly enjoyed that experience. And so let's get it started. How did this whole podcast and the name Crooked Table come about?
You're very welcome, Angie. Thanks for having me on the show. Well, it's funny because the name Crooked Table actually came about in a totally unrelated way. So a friend and I were at Starbucks sitting outside. We were actually brainstorming a novel we wanted to work on together. And, you know, the little metal rickety tables that they have outdoors at Starbucks. And it kept rocking back and forth. And I was in a very much creative, inspiration-soaking style mood that day because we were there to discuss a creative project. And so I just wrote down in my notebook, Crooked Table. I don't know. Maybe I'll do something with that one day. And from there, initially, Crooked Table was going to be sort of a, I think I used it as the name of my personal blog, which I don't even know if they're out there somewhere, probably on Blogger. And then became kind of a, I was trying to make it a collective for writers. So kind of, because writers, I feel like people, creators see the world from a different perspective. So that was kind of the idea with Crooked Table. And then that didn't really pan out. And I kept trying to figure out what to, you know, I like the name. I think it had potential. And, I've always been into film. I was writing movie reviews from, you know, for the University of South Florida, where I went to school. And then, as you mentioned, worked for Screen Rant and a bunch of different other sites. So I finally decided to start my own film blog and call it Crooked Table, and to eventually develop a podcast based on that. I mean, just in the last few years, everyone and their brother has started a podcast. And so my brother and I, you know, I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith and his sort of his network of podcasts that he's created, and his very can-do attitude about, you know, go out and start something yourself. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, why aren't I doing that? So my brother and I got together, and we just were doing it very, very casually for years, actually. It started in 2013, and I'm only at episode 100 and something. So that just goes to show you the casualness that we were just like every few months, oh, let's record a podcast about that and talking about recent movies and that kind of thing. And just recently in the last few months did I really start to rebrand it and really kind of dial down on to what the focus of what I think the world of film from a fresh angle really means.
I think it's great that you and your brother decided to embark on this journey of podcasting, and share what impact has this podcast had on your life?
I think there's a couple reasons that I think it's really affected me. One, I'm an introvert by nature, so it's hard for me sometimes to it's started really hard for me, and it's actually gotten easier as I've gone along. But because whenever you write something or you record a video or a podcast, you're really putting yourself out there. So this has kind of been, I think initially was my way of really just putting myself out there and getting comfortable in my own skin. I mean, when I started it, I was still in my late 20s, and I'm now in my early to mid 30s or so. So, you know, it's really, I'm the last, I feel like I'm also one of the last generations that remembers life before YouTube and the internet and all of that. So it doesn't come second nature to me necessarily to put all my thoughts out there for the world to see. And I think having a podcast has really helped me kind of own that part of myself and you know, not be afraid to go on record with my opinions on things. I mean, yes, it's something as like seemingly frivolous as pop culture, but it's you know, it's still a certain comfort with oneself that you need to have in order to really put that kind of content out there on a regular basis. That plus, in addition to, I've been doing this and I've had full-time jobs. I worked at, you know, for a law firm. I worked for newspapers and things like that. In addition to that, I was doing freelancing, and now my wife and I have a small, have a 2-year-old, and so I, you know, I watch our daughter as well. So it's also, I think it's a really good sense of, it's a really good way to like test yourself, to test your passion for something. If you something really means something for you, to you, you're going to find a way to pursue it. And there's been a lot also with doing the podcast as far as skills development. I didn't know how to edit audio. I didn't know that much about, you know, SEO or about, you know, how to market these things. And I'm still learning as I go, even this far into the run. But there's a lot about discipline yourself and time management and things like that, that really you start to learn how much you can really handle when you're trying to balance your day-to-day life with what is essentially a side hustle.
Yes, the skills development, the things that come with trying new things, the enriched, you know, the enriching experience of learning something new and just taking a chance and just putting yourself out there to do something different is fantastic. That's why I'm so inspired by you and your podcast journey. And as I think about my journey thus far, which it has not been a smooth road in putting this podcast together, I knew nothing about podcasting when I started. Zero. I knew everything that I knew came from what I saw other people do, right? There's so many YouTube videos. There are so many resources out there that teach you what equipment you need, what software you need. And it's been a lot of growth for me in learning how to do this, and the process of learning how to do this has been so much fun. I'm interested in knowing how this podcasting journey has transformed from the original format of you and your brother having these conversations to having on guests. What has been that transformation? Because I'm fascinated with the way that you connect with the guests that you have on, and would love to hear a little bit more of that transition.
Well, it's funny because that was actually part of the concept when I relaunched the podcast a few months ago. I was, in its previous incarnation, most of its life cycle, the Crooked Table podcast has just been my brother and I, or maybe my wife and I, or even just me talking about the most recent movie or whatever, just kind of our thoughts on pop culture stuff. And just a few months ago, I was actually last fall, I was kind of really losing interest in that because, I mean, you'll see this weekend, Avengers just came out as of this recording. And, you know, everybody that has a podcast, including us, we're getting ready to post ours, is posting an Avengers Endgame episode. And I was just feeling so creatively bereft, I guess, in with the podcast at that point, where I was actually really close to ending the podcast. I'd be like, oh, this, I don't have time for this. It's not that important. Why do I like, you know, it's trying to squeeze this thing in my life that I wasn't really passionate about at that point. And my wife actually the one that stopped me. It's like, you're going to regret it if you do that. Just like go on hiatus and then regroup and then come back, you know, when you're ready. So I did that. And part of the concept with doing that was to, as you mentioned, view the world of film from a fresh angle and really embody what that statement means. And for me, that's bringing in different people every episode to talk about a movie that they really like, that really means something to them, that either something they grew up with or something that they connect with in a personal way. And so because of that, every episode we're hearing not only from a diverse group of voices, but also learning a little bit about them, just first of all in the film that they select, and then, you know, delving even deeper as we go along, there's a certain objectivity to cinema and to all art that I really try and highlight on the podcast. So when someone sees a certain film a certain way, you're sort of seeing the world through their eyes in some respect. And I think they bring a lot of their own emotion, their own experience to that. That's, you know, it explains why some people really connect with one film, whereas someone else might be like, oh, I started watching that, it was boring. It's, everybody has their own perspective. And that's really what I try and emphasize by bringing everybody on. So just in the natural course of talking about a movie, I'll make a point and they'll rebut and be like, well, you know, I relate to this character. I mean, we mentioned it in the episode on The Wife when we talked about that you were seeing certain parallels in your life with one of the characters in the film. So I think that cinema is not only an escapist form of entertainment. I think it's really a form of cultural enrichment, and it's kind of a way that you learn about the world and then by essence yourself. So I think that's part of the fun for me in having different people on. And it's also, as I mentioned, being an introvert, it helps me create kind of a network of creative-minded people around me that I'm able to, we're able to feed off of each other. And that's also just really inspiring energy to be around.
Well, I will say that there is a lot of great energy on your podcast. I really enjoyed listening to everyone's differing opinions, and it's fun when you are listening to someone share their points of view about a particular film that you also love, and listening to whether it's, you know, on the same page as you or if somebody's bringing a new perspective to the table, and that is just great. One of the reasons I started the podcast is because I'm very curious about people, and I also saw it as an opportunity to connect and to learn from other people and hopefully use it as a tool or a platform to inspire other people and for other people to learn along with me. So I think that aspect of having these different guests and connecting on different levels is super cool. That this is where your journey has transformed into. I think it's fantastic. But I do want to switch gears. I really want to get your opinion on the Marvel Universe phenomenon, because as of right now, their entire franchise, which is like more than 20 films, has grossed more than $20 billion with a B. It's insane to me. And they just keep making these films and adding to this franchise, because obviously it's a moneymaker for them. And meanwhile, you know, there are all these smaller films that are being made, but I think the worst thing would be for your small film to come out at the same time as a Marvel film, because these Marvel movies are just this, it's a massive worldwide phenomenon. And I bring this up because obviously Endgame is the talk of the town, and it came in at 2.8 billion, I think. I mean, these numbers are crazy.
I know it's crazy, and it's really, I think it's a, you know, there's two ways to look at that number, and there's the one hand, which is, well, of course, you know, Disney and Marvel have crafted this 22 film arc that's slowly but surely enveloped the entire world, and we're all connected now to these characters. But on the other hand, you could be like, you know, they just bought Fox. It's sort of like they're taking over the market share, and this is further indicative of that. So from a business perspective, it's a little, I'm more conflicted about it. But as a fan of that franchise and of that film specifically, I mean, my wife and I talked about it on an upcoming episode of the podcast for over 2 hours, and we both got really emotional multiple times throughout the film. So it's nice to see a film that I think services its audience and really concludes a story in such a satisfying way be successful. But at the same time, it's also like, But that's that's an astronomical number. It's like, what about how many little movies could we have made for like 1% of that?
Thank you for sharing your perspective on that. But there is something else I would like to get your opinion on or your advice on. And that is, what advice do you have for listeners that are looking for their creative outlet, that, you know, have full-time jobs, that have busy lives, children, whatever it might be, and yet are still looking for something more, a way to express themselves? What is the best approach, in your opinion? What advice would you give?
I think part of it is really trial and error. If you're interested in something, look into it. I mean, you know, we have so much information at our fingertips. There's a million different ways to find out more about like a particular creative outlet, whether it's podcasting or you know, making videos or, you know, short stories or you know, music, you want to learn a musical instrument, whatever. I think a lot of it is just expose yourself to those things. Expose yourself to the arts, to creativity, and try something out. And if it doesn't work for you, then just move on and find something where your passion really lies. And, you know, I think especially now, there are resources available. So if you want to start a podcast, start a podcast. It's not that expensive initially. If you do something, you know, if you do the lower rate like hosting plan, or you just post things directly to YouTube, it's inexpensive at best for the most part to get started with these things. So if you want to create something, just start it. I think the big problem for most people, and this was, you know, partially, I guess, the reason why I didn't really commit to this as a regular thing, as creating an episode every week. It's finding the time to do it, finding the energy and the self-discipline to do it, and then really looking for, you know, casting aside those excuses. We all have, you know, significant others or kids or jobs or, you know, worked long hours and just want to watch Netflix before we fall asleep or curl up with a good book. But it's really about making the time for it. So I'd say to just start doing it. I mean, if you listen to old episodes of the podcast, the audio is not great. And it's clear that I did not know how to edit very well. So I feel like I've learned a lot over the years. So I think that's my advice would be just to start. And that's the only way to find out if something's really for you. And I think the key thing there too is that you have to have the passion to push you through it. It has to be something that you really care about, because it is hard. It is hard to find time to do it. And the big struggle now, because everybody has those resources that I mentioned, is that everyone is like millions of people have podcasts. Like even in any niche there, it has been covered. There are other podcasts out there that have way more downloads than you, especially early on. So it's all about, are you willing to stick with it, regardless of whether you have 5 people listening or 5,000 people listening? And I think that's a key question that you need to ask yourself. You know, whether you're making money with your podcast, which a lot of podcasters don't, or whether you're just doing it for fun because it's a way to, like I said earlier, it's a way to meet people. It's a way to share your passion, to get inspired and energized. After I get off the recording of a Crooked Table podcast episode, I go downstairs and I talk to my wife, and I'm always like so jazzed because I just connected with someone about something that we both care about film. And it really, like I said, I'm an introvert, so it gets me out of my shell. So it like puts this really positive energy out there. So you need that kind of satisfaction before you can even hope about establishing an audience or let alone, you know, monetizing anything.
Thank you. Really. There's so much packed into what you just said, and I hope that listeners are internalizing this message, because I know I'm certainly internalizing it, because it's important to just get started, right? There are a lot of podcasts out there. There are a lot of people doing this in just about every topic that you can think of. But there's still room. There's room for your voice. There's room for, you know, your passion. There's room for what it is that you want to do. And sticking to it is, I think, half the battle. And understanding that now more than ever, I think it's important for people to have a creative outlet, and that can be a blog, that can be a podcast. It could be, you know, something on TikTok, right? There are just a lot of different outlets, and everything that you're saying, it really resonates with me, and I hope that it will resonate with listeners as well. And I know I would love to be able to talk about movies all day long, because I'm a lover of films as well. But I do want to get to your top five favorite, you know, or the top best movies in your opinion. You know, what's on your list? Because the podcast, of course, is called Five Things. But I'm curious to see what are your top five films of all time. I know that could be a little bit challenging, right? But would love to hear your take.
Well, this is, I just mentioned earlier about objectivity in film. So I wouldn't really, for me, it's all about, and I even do this when I do my end of year list. I always frame it as my 10 favorite movies, not necessarily best, because I feel like that's a nebulous term that really is completely subjective. So for me, five of the movies that I enjoy the most, and this is not really in a particular order, but one of the most recent ones is from 2010, and it's called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and it's by director Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead and Baby Driver and things like that. And this movie, it's such an example of style, and a lot of people feel like it's style over substance, but I think that there's a real beating heart to what the film's trying to say about ourselves, the way we view ourselves, and in the context of this really crazy video game inspired aesthetic. I also really love Back to the Future, the original and the sequel, but specifically the original, just because it's one of those films that I grew up with. I watched the whole trilogy a lot growing up. I listened to I have the score and everything. So I've always been fascinated with time travel, and that franchise really kind of epitomizes that to me. Plus, it's just one of the best screenplays ever written. I mean, it's so funny and so clever and so full of imagination seeping out of every pore. Also, I really love Memento, the Christopher Nolan movie. I've enjoyed a lot of his films since then, particularly The Dark Knight and Inception. But Memento had I saw kind of during that early period in the early 2000s where I was really starting to appreciate the art of film. And I think this is probably like 99 to 2001 in that realm where I was like, oh, wow, look at, I understand the purpose, the intentionality between every decision made in this film. So it was really when I was getting into like the artistry of cinema rather than, you know, just watching, you know, Batman movies when I was a kid and just Ninja Turtles or whatever. It's like you start to appreciate that film can say a lot more than just being kind of a fun adventure. And that movie, with its commentary on your memory and the way that we like deceive ourselves so we can see things from a certain perspective, the performance in it, the backwards storytelling, all of that really fascinated me and has made me kind of a lifelong Christopher Nolan fan. I also then we're getting like to basically what I would call my top two movies. And the reason I don't really have a particular favorite movie is that I feel like they both scratch a very specific itch. So the first one is The Matrix, which I did a two-part review discussion with my brother for the 100th episode of the Crooked Table podcast. It's because we had so much. I had four pages of notes, and this is a movie I've been watching forever for the last 20 years. That was the movie, I think, that I saw in theaters where I was like, oh, wait, so this is a reference to mythology, and this is them trying to wrap in philosophy or like religion. And that movie, and I said this on the podcast, something to this effect, it's got sci-fi, it's got film noir, it's got philosophy, religion, mythology, dream psychology, so much going on in that movie under the guise of this, you know, chosen one narrative. Plus, insane visual effects that no one had ever seen before. Keanu Reeves' performance that I think is actually probably one of the performances that plays to his strengths on screen the best. where he's you know, he plays that bewildered, that whoa, that kind of thing really well. And so in that way, he's the audience surrogate. Plus, when he does the kung fu, he plays sort of this nerdy, kind of nerdy computer hacker really well, but he also plays the sci-fi action hero side of it. So it's very rare that I would call a film flawless, but that's one of those films that I think every frame, the cinematography, Don Davis's score, everything about that film is pitch perfect. So that to me, like, hits the same kind of itch that, like, the MCU, the Marvel movies too, where it's this big scale imagination, like, you know, plus it gets you thinking. There's an intelligence behind The Matrix. And then my other favorite film is Jerry Maguire, directed by Cameron Crowe from 96 with Tom Cruise. And I'm not, like, I like Tom Cruise and I've seen most of his movies, but I don't automatically think every movie he does is amazing. And I'm honestly not even that big a fan of Cameron Crowe movies in general. That's probably the only one that I think that might be the only one that I own. Just because something about this film really connected with me, and I didn't realize it until later in life, but it's the fact that it's funny because I just talked about Bridget Jones's Diary on an episode of the Crooked Table podcast that I recorded yesterday, and that film is about a 30-something single person basically reevaluating their life and having kind of finding themselves at a crossroads. And Jerry Maguire in that movie is having a crisis of conscience, trying to figure out, you know, who he is, what he's bringing to the world, how, you know, is he, what is his role in society? And at this point, he's a kind of a sleazy sports agent. So he starts to question the business that I'm in, the way I am approaching it, my relationship, the kind of people see me as this terrible person that I don't really see myself inside, and how can I rectify who I feel like I am inside to who the world sees? And that's that kind of moral narrative really has always fascinated me, and I think that film really captures that the most. So those are just kind of five of my many, many films that I could mention, but Matrix and Jerry Maguire, like, are neck and neck for my favorite film of all time for different personal reasons.
Robert, I can't thank you enough again for being here. Thank you for sharing those films. Those are fantastic ones. I am a big fan of the Matrix as well. Back to the Future is such a classic. I feel like every generation of children for the rest of eternity should absolutely see that film. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, I have not seen. So I'm going to add that to my list of films that I want to watch, and we'll definitely watch that this weekend. So thank you so much for sharing so much of your backstory and your journey and for your amazing advice that you've shared with us today. Please tell listeners how they can find you.
Well, they can follow me on Twitter at Crooked Table for the show's page, and then I'm at Robert Yannis Jr. For my personal Twitter page. But for the most part, we've been posting episodes Mondays in the podcast feed and every week. So I encourage anyone listening to this, if they're interested in the show, to give it a listen. And if they're willing to come on the show, go to crookedtable.com/guest. I really pride myself in the fact that the show is, as I say every episode, democratizing the film criticism conversation, because I'm welcome fans, critics, everyone alike, because as I said, I feel like everyone has something to bring to the way that they see the arts, and in this case, film. So crookedtable.com, you can find the podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a few other places, but those are probably the easiest to find it. And yeah, absolutely reach out to me, if anyone that's listening to this, if you want to come on the show, I'd love to talk with you.
Thank you. As always, I'll have all of this information linked on the website, so you can go there, read Robert's bio, connect with him, and learn and listen to his podcast. Please go visit his website and listen to his podcast. It's awesome. I think you'll definitely enjoy it. And as he said, if you want to be on, reach out to him. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I truly appreciate all of you for joining me on my own podcast journey. Please stay tuned for next week's episode, because we have a guest who is related to Robert. So thank you all again, and catch you next week.